All right, welcome to Bible study. Glad you're here. It's good to see everybody tonight. We're going to take a moment, open our time in prayer, and then we will look and see what God has to say through His Word tonight. So let's pray. Father, thanks for just the opportunity to gather in Your name. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You, God, for Your power. We thank You, God, for Your revelation. We thank You that You speak. I pray we'd have ears to hear. God, lead us, guide us. I pray that You would direct our time tonight. And I ask You, Lord, that we would respond to what You say. It wouldn't just be an exercise in hearing, but it would be actual change taking place in our lives. So, God, we give You thanks tonight for the opportunity to change, the opportunity to grow, the opportunity to become and to be more like You. So, lead us. I pray that, God, we would be pliable and we would allow for the work of Your Holy Spirit in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reminder for our podcast listeners that we have an interactive feature with Bible study, and that is through a website at www.speakpipe.com. That's S-P-E-A-K-P-I-P-E. .com/Monday Night Bible Study, all one word. You go there to that webpage, and there's a button that you can toggle, and you can leave us what would appear to be a voicemail. And we'd love to hear from you. Could be just saying hi, or maybe you have a question about Bible study, or maybe you have a comment, or you just want to tell us where you're from. But we'd love to hear from you. Could be something good God's doing in your life. So drop us a line, leave us a message, and we'll endeavor to play that at our next Bible study.
If you have your Bibles, let's open up to the book of 2 John. 2 John chapter 1. If you need a Bible, some are located on the tables. Feel free. Use those. 2 John chapter 1. I need a volunteer to read verse 6, 2 John 1 and 6.
And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love.
All right, thanks. And this is another part of, and another book actually, but along the same theme of love and what love is. We looked at this last time, and we talked about it on Sunday, and this is just something that I believe God is speaking to us right now. But there's all kinds of different ideas, teachings, concepts, perspectives, and that's always true. When he was writing here, he was specifically addressing a heresy that was in the church from the Gnostics. The Gnostics believed that everything that was physical was bad. I'm simplifying. And what was spiritual was good. And so they denied that Jesus had come in the flesh, because what's physical is bad, according to them. And so spirit is good, physical is bad. That was the heresy. And so that was their whole thing. John was addressing that. And one of the ways that he addressed that was just to approach this idea of what does love look like? What is it? And this, and understanding that he's teaching in such a way, he wants people to understand that there is value in the physical, that we don't just live in the spiritual. And so he is speaking to this whole idea that the Gnostics were bringing up and saying, well, life is lived here. So he's talking about love in such a way that, and I want you to understand it this way, that it matters how we live here and now. That it's not just an idea for the future. And it's not just an idea that takes place on some spiritual level between us and God. And if you're following me, you kind of understand what I'm saying. What he's saying is that it actually needs to manifest here and now. And so this is something that is a theme in 1 John, 2 John, because that's who that's something he's addressing through these books, through these letters. And so, as I mentioned, the Gnostics, they were teaching a heresy, and so there's a lot of ideas, and some are deceptive, some are what the Bible describes as antichrist. In other words, not for Jesus, not about Jesus, but actually against him. And so that's all those things like that. Now, I want to say this too. I talk about, and this is something that I've talked about a long time, about feelings, the idea of feelings, and how the heart, and you all know what I'm about to say, is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? From Jeremiah. And I've been teaching that for a lot of years. And so it's been brought to my attention that that is really a no-go with the generation that we have right now. Because the generation that we have right now believes that they should always follow their heart. And so I'm teaching that the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? And the heart leads you down the wrong path. So a generation believes and has been taught that they should always follow their heart. So I have a choice to make, right? When a teaching is a no-go, like that, like you're just going to lose your whole audience. Well, so do I just not say anything? Or do I say what I believe to be true and people are going to take it or leave it? Well, my opinion is, and has been my opinion, that I'm just going to say what I believe to be true, and people are going to take it or leave it. And so what happens is that I'll teach on that, or I'll teach on what I'm about to teach on, and some people are going to hear it, and they're going to take it to heart, and they will respond to it in one way or another, and then there'll be other people that are just going to ignore what I'm about to say, because that's easier. It's easier to ignore it than to actually do something about it, or to actually think about it, or actually consider the fact that maybe your heart is not the best guide that you can have. In fact, it's a really poor guide. Feelings come and go. Feelings change. Feelings are not the best way to live your life. You may believe that, you may not believe that. But to actually at least consider that is part of what I want to challenge you toward tonight. And so if you're one of the follow your heart kind of people, then okay, but at least consider what's about to be said. Because I believe there's more to life than following your heart. And I believe there's more to the gospel than following your heart. I believe that there's a better place, and I believe there's a better way to live than just by following your heart. So I just offer that here as we start. Now, so this passage in 2 John 1:6 starts with a definition. Love means something. That's what it starts with. This is love. And so he gives an answer to that. Love means, this is love. All right. In other words, the principal truth or proof of true love is what he's about to say. This is how you recognize it. This is how you see it. This is how you can believe it. This is how you can take hold of it and actually trust it. This is the proof of true love. And that has to do with God, loving God or loving the people that God sends our way. This is the proof of it. This is what it looks like. And that's this: doing what God says. That's not very romantic, is it? No. That's not even very emotional. And if your principal definition of love is emotion, then that doesn't make a lot of sense. And so what I would try and at least encourage you toward is maybe working toward a different definition or seeing love differently and defining it differently in your own life or in your own mind. Because in the Bible, love, okay, there is an emotion, but the principal definition of love isn't just an emotion. And as I've said before, going through counseling, premarital or counseling, marriage counseling, or some of the things that I've done over the last 35, 40 years, is looking at love as more than just what I feel in a moment. Because love is more than that. And it needs to be more than that if it's going to mean anything. But love has to be, at least in some way, manifest in the physical. In other words, beyond how I feel or beyond how a person might define love as an emotion, there has to be some physical evidence of what love is and what it looks like. And the Bible talks about it. And right here, I mean, and in some of the other passages that we looked at, but it's like, this is love. Doing what God says. That's love. That's love for God, and that's love for people around us. Now, in a practical way, I'm going way off script here. You guys ready? In a practical way, here's what that looks like. All right? And this has happened before. So this is kind of a true story. I'm not going to give any detail, though. We're walking, and there's a bum sitting on the sidewalk. And he wants money. All right? And so I see the bum on the sidewalk. He's asking for money. And I just say no. And just keep going. Person with me looks at me and says, "Was that very Christian of you to do that?" All right. Going to break that down a second. Okay. Now I'm walking by this bum. Got money in my pocket. Maybe a little bit. He wants money. Okay. Now, what do I believe God's told me about that? So I can ask him. Jesus, you want me to give this bum some money? And if Jesus says, yeah, give him some money, I reach in my pocket and I give him some money. If I say, Jesus, you want me to give this bum some money? He says, no. I just keep walking and say, no. Now, the person who asked me that question, their idea of love would be that, why would you even ask? Don't you see that person has need? You should give. Well, if you think about it, it's like there's how many billions of people on the face of the earth? And of those billions of people on the face of the earth, how many of them live in poverty? I don't know. Billions. Billions of them live in poverty. All right? So conceptually, if I look at the world and I look at what's going on in the world and I'm saying, okay, well, if it's a given that I got to help everybody that is living in poverty or living in need, I got to cough up some money to them, I run out of money real quick. So then it comes down to, all right, well, no, not just everybody, but only the people you run into. All right, so I'm going to avoid those streets from now on. I ain't going to run into them. Does that mean if I don't see them and I don't run into them, then I'm alleviated of responsibility for that? Is that what you're telling me? Well, no. Well, what are you telling me? Well, what you're telling me is we walked by a bum, you saw him sitting there, and he asked you for money, and you said no, and that seems mean to me. So then my next question is, well, why didn't you give him some money? Okay. So follow along with me here. The issue becomes, maybe if I give that guy money, and I'm not justifying anything, I'm just telling you, you know, who knows what the scenario is, but maybe he's just going to get up and go buy drugs. Or maybe he's going to get up and go buy alcohol. Or maybe he's, and who cares if that's the case, but I don't know what he's going to do with that money. Is he going to go eat? Maybe. I have no idea. I have no idea. And so because I have no idea, I'm just going to ask. What do you want me to do, God? Yay or nay? And if the answer is no, and if you can follow me, and I say no, I just love that guy. And that sounds crazy, but I do what God said. All right? And if on the other hand, God says, yeah, and I give him all the money I got in my pocket, I just love that guy. Because that's what Jesus said. And so I'm not in the business of trying to figure that part out. Because it's not how I feel about that particular person. Because some bums are better looking than other bums. And some bums smell better than other bums. And so how am I going to make that determination? Some bums are nicer than other bums. Some are rude when they ask you for it. Well, see, I'm not of the opinion that by me running into somebody on the sidewalk, trying to figure out their issue, trying to figure out their problem, trying to figure out whatever's going on in their life, I don't think I'm qualified to do any of that stuff. I don't think I'm qualified to make a judgment on a bum based on how he smells. I don't think I'm qualified to make a judgment on a bum based on the way he asked me for the money. I don't think I'm qualified for any of those things. And so I'm just going to ask. And there are certain days where I'm going to cough up the money, and there's a lot of days where I'm not going to cough up the money because he said no. And it's kind of the way it is. And so I hope that is some weird little practical thing that if a person was listening to this that's not a part of who we are, not a Christian or not a disciple or whatever, and they heard me say something like that, they would say that I was just crazy and justified in being a jerk. But that's just the truth of how it works with me. And so I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that is the manifestation of love through my life. That's the best I can do. So I'm going to love God by doing what he says, and I'm going to love people by doing what he says. Because that's the means that he's given me to do that. Because I can't save the whole world, and I can't provide for the whole world, and I can't give to the whole world, but I can do what he tells me to do. I have the resources to do what he tells me to do. He makes sure of that. And so that becomes the manifestation of love. And I wanted to use a negative circumstance so you understand sometimes the manifestation of love is no. No. That is sometimes a manifestation of love because that's what Jesus says. And so I encourage you to see this as really more of an open-ended question, not just looking for yes all the time, but listening and hearing the no's and the yeses as we go through the process of learning how to live in him. And so if we're going to love him and we're going to love each other, we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. God, you have this for me right here, right now? No. You have this for me right here, right now? Yes. Both those things are love. And we have to, as crazy as it sounds, to be willing to love people, not based on our opinion and not based on our judgment, but based on what God says. And so I just want to give that to you. And I thought including the negative thing would be important for some of you. Because I think some of you equate love with yes. And that's just not the case all the time. Sometimes it is, but not all the time. If you're a people pleaser, listen, if you're a people pleaser, you equate love with yes. And I don't care if it's your spouse, your kids, your friends, whoever it is, if you're a people pleaser, you equate love with yes. We're not called to be people pleasers, but we are called to love others. So we need to hear. And no is just as much love as yes, depending on what God says. So let's look at a few verses. John 14:15. Yeah, out loud if somebody can do that. John 14, 15.
If you love me, keep my commands.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Everybody hear that one? That's Jesus. That's the Jesus speaking right there. If you love me, if you love me, then keep my commands. It's a logical statement. If P, then Q. Simple, simple. If you love me, then keep my commands. All right. Okay, John 14, 21.
Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will also be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
All right, a couple things are added in that. All right, simple statement. The one who keeps my commands, if you keep my commands, what? Then you love me. Okay, so that's the person who loves me. And my Father will pour out his love on you, Jesus says. And bonus, I'll show myself to you. So in addition to showing, I love Jesus, so I'm going to keep his commands. Well, then we receive the Father's love being poured out on us, and Jesus shows himself to us. So there's revelation involved in that. So it's not just, and it would be plenty, to just say, well, I'm going to love God. Well, how am I going to love God? That's going to manifest through my life by me doing what he says. That's enough in and of itself. But he says, as a bonus, you also get to experience the depths of the Father's love, and there's a deeper revelation of Jesus in your life through doing that. Wow. So you got a couple more things going on with this, and that whole idea of revelation, well, doing what God says, that is the proof of true love, of loving God, of loving people, and loving your own soul enough to invest into it. Okay? I was leaving off the you part because we're selfish enough. But it's a fact that as we love God, how? Through keeping his commands. We love one another through keeping his commands. Then we're also loving our own soul, because we're experiencing a greater depth of the Father's love, and we're receiving more revelation of the person of Jesus in our life. So we're loving our own soul by doing that. So you've got the evidence. We've got revelation. All right, so that's all personal things. You follow me? All right, so I'm going to do what God says. Right, that's how I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him, and if I love him, then I'll do what he says. All right, simple statement. The one who does what I say loves me. All right, simple statement. And deeper into the Father's love, and a personal, more full revelation of Jesus in your life. All right, so that's just personal. Let's look theologically. Romans 13:10. Romans 13:10.
Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law.
All right. Love solves the law. If you wrestle with this question somehow in your life, religious people wrestle with this question. So if you're wrestling with this question and you're a religious person, and that means you were brought up in a certain way, you were taught a certain way, and you were taught conflicting ideas about the law and about Jesus. What is the place of the gospel and the law together? What does that look like? Love solves the law issue. That's what Romans says. Romans 13:10 tells us that love, which is what? Doing what Jesus says, solves the law issue. All right, so all the law summed up. Remember what Jesus said? What's the summing up of the law? Love. Love God. Love each other. That's the summation of the law. Love, how? Manifests through doing what Jesus says, solves the law. That whole question. Because you took the whole law, you summed it up. All right, I want to solve this in my life. What does that look like? I'm going to do what Jesus says. That's it. But isn't that what God intended from the start? Sure. Wasn't that the relationship of Adam and Eve in the garden? Yeah. They had a relationship with the Father, with God, the Creator. He would visit with them. They would have fellowship with Him. They went about the business that He gave them to do. They went about the tasks that He laid before them. He's like, okay, Adam, name the animals. What did Adam do? Name the animals. Okay, why don't you guys, whatever it is, why don't you care and tend for the garden? What did they do? They cared and they tended for the garden. That's what they did. And so everything that we worry about, everything that everybody gets all upset about, all those kind of things are all summed up and solved in love, in doing what Jesus says. And I know that sounds really simple, only because it is. Only because it is. And it's so simple that we cannot accept it. Our brains have a hard time accepting it's that simple. And it becomes less simple the moment that Jesus tells you to do something that you don't want to do. All right. Then you're going to try to complicate it so much you can get out of it. Or even worse, you ask Jesus about something that you want to do and he says, what's a good word? No. Oh, then you're really going to complicate it so you can do what you want to do. And remember, I believe this, and if you can keep this in your heart, keep this in your mind, it'll save you a lot of headache. We complicate things, we convolute things, we confuse things on purpose because we don't want to do them. And the more complicated you can make something, the better opportunity you have for an excuse to ignore it. I don't get it. All right, so then you just ignore it. People say that all the time. Oh, I just don't understand. I doubt that's really the issue. Now, sometimes it is. But many times when people say, well, I don't understand, they do understand. They just don't want to do it. And it's easier to say, I don't understand. It's easier to throw out 18 possibilities and just let them hang in the air. This is too big for me to solve right now. I don't have the energy for this. Whatever it is, I don't have time to mess with this right now. Okay, yeah. So you can just keep doing what you want to do anyway. It's a strategy that we use to disobey, which means it's a strategy that we use to not love. That's it. And it's all birthed out of selfishness. But the real question here, the real issue here is not complicated. And so when you begin to look at things and they seem complicated, examine the possibility, please, that you just don't want to do it. Just examine it. And that just might be the case. That instead of jumping through 18 hoops and complicating something and wasting all that mental energy just complicating things, instead of doing that, just maybe boil it down to, I don't really think I want to do this. And just man up that, yeah, I just don't want to do it. That's an honest answer. It is. It's a lot more honest than making stuff up. It's a lot more honest than complicating things so you don't have to do it. It's a lot more honest than all the other games that people play so they don't have to say that. Because if you grew up in the church, you know you're not supposed to say that. You know you're not. And so you make up stuff so you don't have to say it. Well, if that's your heart and that's how you feel, you're better off saying it. Because at least that's the truth. There's been times, more than once in my life, where I've had to say, I just don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I'll tell God that too. God, I really don't want to do this. And I'm in a better spot saying that than ignoring it. I'm a better spot saying I really don't want to do this than I am just pretending it doesn't exist. Remember the parable. Jesus told a parable. Two sons. He told them, go work in the field. The first son said, I don't want to do it. I ain't going. Second son said, yes, sir, right away, Dad. As the story goes, though, the first son said, yeah, I don't want to do it, but then changed his mind and went and he worked in the field. Second son that said, all gung-ho, yeah, Dad, I'll get right out there, didn't go at all. And the question that Jesus asked was this, who obeyed their father? The first son. He said he didn't want to do it, but ended up going anyway. You see, that was honest. And it was also obedience. The second son said, yes, I'll get right on it, but then didn't go. That's dishonest, and it's disobedience. But I'll tell you something. The church would reward the second son and shun the first son. And that's how messed up things are. And so if you grew up in that system, then that's some messed up ideas that have been thrown your way. Because the fact of the matter is, the church just wants you to look good and sound good and say the right things. That's the second son. And hide if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Hide it. Don't let anybody know about it. See, that's the second son. That's disobedience. That's what God doesn't want. That's not love. The first son, I ain't doing it. I want to do this. All right, I'll go do it. Well, he didn't have the right attitude, brother. You didn't have the right attitude. You better get your heart right. Hey, Jesus said that guy was right. He obeyed. So, let's not judge the one that was right and obeyed, okay? Let's not judge the one that actually loved in that scenario and reward the one that didn't love. And if what I just said resounded with you, then you came out of that, all right? Because there's some people I just said that and like, what's he talking about? Right. If you didn't come out of that, what I just said didn't make any sense. It didn't. But if that made sense to you, let that sink in a little bit. It made sense to me because I said it, right? So I came out of that. I understand that. But I also know I came out of that and I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. So if I don't want to do it, what's the best thing I can say about it? I don't want to do it. And I hope you're big enough people, and I hope you're loving enough people, understanding enough people, that if I say I want to do that, then you don't just judge me right off the bat and say, well, get your attitude right. And reward the goody two-shoes in the corner. It's like, I'll do it. Makes me crazy. Makes me crazy. Sean Penn. So love each other. See, we should be especially characterized by loving each other. Everybody knows you're supposed to love God. All right, all right. But how's that manifest? Well, John says that if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you know what you are? A liar. You're a liar. That's what the Bible says. The manifestation of your relationship with God is with the people around you. And people, they want to argue about that. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. You don't love God. Well, that means you're loving the people around you. You want to say, I trust God. Well, you're going to trust people around you. Yeah. I serve God. Well, yeah, well, you're going to serve people around you. Your relationship with God is manifest through your life with the people around you. It has to mean something. It has to manifest as something. That's why obedience is love. There needs to be some physical manifestation of love. Well, that's what it is. And so, oh, I love God, but I hate all these people. It don't work that way. I love God. I'm going to love my brother. I'm going to love my sister. That's how it's going to happen. That's what it's going to look like. So because of that, again, why was John writing a lot of this stuff? Because he's dealing with people, wackos, that believed that everything that was physical was evil and everything that was spiritual was good. Well, isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? If everything that we ever do only takes place in a spiritual level, there's no manifestation of it, well, then there's no expectation. In other words, you can live your life and you can act any way you feel like in the physical because it's all evil anyway. But I got it all right in the spiritual. You know what? I don't believe you. You tell me that, I don't believe you. What I do believe is how we actually live. What I do believe is the manifestation of love through obedience and through our lives, doing what Jesus says. What I do believe, you can tell me you love God all you want, but if you don't love your brother, he just ain't true. You're a liar, according to the Bible, according to what God says. But we should be especially characterized by this, that we love each other. Somebody look at John 13, John 13, 34. John 13, 34.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
Read the next verse.
By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
So our lives should especially be characterized by this. And what that's saying is that we're just going to really love God. We're going to love God with a whole heart. And that manifests itself through us, and we love each other. I'm going to love my brother. So is the whole idea is, all right, I really, really want to love God. Okay, great, but what's that going to look like? Well, we're going to love each other too. And there's a relationship between those two things. I'm pouring out my heart to God and loving the people around me. And so this is not, again, a matter of mere feeling. And he makes a statement after this. He's like, this you have heard from the beginning. In other words, you've heard this before. John says that. He's like, you heard this before. You've heard this from the beginning. Beginning of what? Well, there's a couple possibilities on that. The beginning of the apostles' teaching. The beginning of Jesus' teaching? Or what about just the beginning? What about just God and how he made us and who he made us to be? We've heard this from the beginning. And so from the very beginning, and you can go all the way back, you can go to teachings of Jesus, whatever you want to do. And I've tried to throw in a lot of gospel in this one because I want you to understand this is what Jesus says. This is his word to us. This is expectation. It's not an optional thing. This is how people know that we're God's, that we belong to God, is that we love each other. That's how it manifests. It's funny. It's like they don't know that we're his people because we tell them how much we love God. It's not a matter of telling them all about it. We want it to be a matter of telling them all about it because that's easier. It's a lot easier to tell people, I really love God. Man, I love him so much. I love him. And you keep saying, I love him, yeah. So much. A lot. A lot. You ever been in a relationship where someone needs to tell you that every 5 minutes? Or 10 minutes? That's trouble. All right, if you've ever been in a relationship like that, when somebody's got to tell you they love you every 5, 10 minutes, something's wrong, all right? There's something wrong with that. Just saying. And I know maybe I'm the Grinch, but I'm just telling you, there's something messed up about that. And so beware. Beware. Because talking is talking. Man, love God. Love God. Well, the world's not going to know we love God and we're his people just because we tell them we love God. Jesus said they'd know because we're going to love each other. That's the manifestation of, the physical manifestation of loving God. That we do what Jesus says. We love each other. So there's the loving each other part of this. And he tells us that we are supposed to walk in it. Ephesians 5:2, somebody. Ephesians 5:2. Okay, so there's a walk in verse, right? Walk in the way of love. So we're walking in love. When the Bible talks about walking in, you know, it's talking about, sometimes use the word conversation for that. That's just the way we're going to live. That's how we're going to live. That's the manifestation through our life. That's how we're going to live. So somebody else, look at Romans 14:15. All right, we're going to look at that, and that's walking, and that's, we're going to, according to, all right, so a little different structure in that. Romans 14:15.
If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died.
All right, so that version says acting in. But the idea behind it is according to. So you're no longer functioning according to love. So you got two different ways of seeing it there. Both of them are complementary. And the idea is that we walk in love and we live according to love. All right? So one, we're in the midst of it. The other, we're allowing it to guide us. Follow? Two different things. All right, but they're complementary to each other. And there are other verses in the Bible that talk about walking in or living according to. But I just use those as examples so that when you read those, they're saying a couple of different things, but they're complementary one to another. But recognizing, a lot of times we look at the Bible and we're like, well, that's just the kind of way they say it. Well, there's a reason they say it that way. And you might want to pay attention to that. That's just a little tip. You know, bonus tip. But when you do read things, it has meaning. Words have meaning. And so walking in means something different than living according to. They're complementary, but they're not exactly the same thing. And let the truth of each of those things speak to you. Because one says one thing, the other says another, but they work together to build something bigger and more robust in our life. So if we don't recognize there's any difference, we're not literally living in the thickness of what God is saying. And so we want to live in that thickness. We want to live in that robust place, in that picture, in that work that God's doing in us, and recognize it for what it is. So this is the will of God. This is the will of God for you. I'm going to just say that. All right. So if you want to know the will of God for your life, well, this is one answer. It's a good one, too. What's the will of God for my life? Well, you can start right here. Slam dunk will of God for your life, right here. We don't have to search for this. We don't have to go looking for it. You're going to love God. You're going to love his people. You're going to do what Jesus says. That's the will of God for your life. So you can start right there. All right. So if we're going to do this, I'm going to leave you with a couple ideas. If we're going to do this, there can be no sympathy for a religion of pious emotions. No sympathy. You cannot harbor sympathy for a religion of pious emotions. That needs to end. And by religion, I just mean a system, or however you want to see it, but that's what it's made up of. What I mean by that, I just really like it when X, Y, or Z happens. I get a chill up my spine when they light those candles, or whatever it is. I don't know. All right? Well, have no sympathy for that. I got none. No. When we were starting this church, I had an opportunity to go out and be part of this think tank organization of young pastors that were starting churches. And I was talking to this guy, he was up in Washington State, or Oregon, I can't remember, Pacific Northwest. And he was telling me about his church service and how they have, you know, they darken the room and they light candles as part of their church service. And being young and not so suave, I said, why? He said, well, because people like it. I got no sympathy for that. All right? And I know I could be nicer about it, but I have no sympathy for that. Why do people like that? Why? Does it trigger something in their mind about, well, this must be really, you know, religious? Yeah, maybe. Or this must be like really spiritual because we're lighting candles. Maybe. I don't know. I can't exactly answer it, but we cannot have sympathy for religion of pious emotions. We can't live off of, well, I feel good about this, but I don't feel good about that. We can't live off that. We can't live off of, well, this just feels like the right thing to do. Well, what if it's exactly the wrong thing to do? You can't live like that. And so we can't begin having sympathy for that because it will creep into our lives. The whole world expects you to live that way. They expect you to follow your heart. They expect you to do whatever feels right in the moment. They expect you to react to situations in some kind of an emotional way. That's what the whole world expects. And so you're always being pushed into that. Well, you can't harbor anything about that. You cannot have sympathy for it because it will creep into your life. And you'll start living that way after a while. So if you start having sympathy for it is something that will creep in. We need to persevere. We need to persevere in obedience. Jesus, what do you have for me? Jesus, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do? And persevere in that. That's what we need to do. And so if we're willing to persevere in that and show no sympathy for all those other things that don't matter, then we're going to be a lot better off and we're going to love a lot better. And I want you to think about that, you know, warm feelings. I mean, people, they have sympathy for warm feelings. Yeah, all right. But they're not united in obedience and truth. You see, warm feelings that are not united to obedience and to truth can be worse than valueless. They can be harmful. I'll say that again. Warm feelings not united to obedience and truth can be worse than valueless. They can be harmful. Nobody wants to hear that. I know. I'm really unpopular because of that, but I'm okay with that. Because I just know that what Jesus has for us is better. I just know that his plan is better. I just know that what he has for me to do today is going to be better than anything I can think of or anything I can do in my own emotions or my own feelings. I just know that the stuff I do in obedience to Jesus is going to have a lot more lasting consequences than whatever it is I'm doing out of my own emotions and warm feelings. I just know that. And so I'm going to choose to live that way and value that in my life. I want to encourage you to do that. Hmm. Let's take a few minutes to respond, and I want to give you an opportunity to, that if you have something that you'd like to pray about, say, not show any sympathy for, maybe stop showing sympathy for certain things, maybe decide that, I don't want to live that way anymore, or whatever it is, I encourage you to do it. And I know, again, this is not a popular message. This isn't something that, I mean, I'm talking to a generation of people that just don't want to hear this. I get it. But maybe God's speaking to you tonight. Maybe he's challenging some ideas. Maybe you need help with that. Maybe, man, it's so ingrained in you that you need some help just to leave it behind, being led by your heart or whatever. Being led by warm feelings. Valuing those warm feelings more than you should. Attributing warm feelings that, oh, it must be the Holy Spirit. No, it may not be. Because remember, obedience plus truth with some warm feelings, nice. Without it, not so nice. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and really speak to our spirit, speak to our soul, speak to us in a way that we can understand. And I pray that you will begin to challenge some bad ideas, some bad ways of doing things, some bad ways of going about things, maybe some confusion, some self-made confusion, whatever. I pray you begin to challenge some of those things. And I pray for a clarity and a simplicity to come forth tonight. I pray a clarity and simplicity in people's hearts and their minds tonight. I pray that the stuff, the whatever it would be, the religious stuff, the stuff that we're bringing in from childhood, the stuff we're bringing in from our experiences, I pray that what doesn't matter would fall away. And I pray a simplicity of your word tonight. And I thank you that your word is simple. I thank you that love is doing what Jesus says. Yeah. Love is doing what Jesus says. Loving him and loving each other is doing what Jesus says. And that solves everything. Theologically, it just solves it. So Jesus, I pray that you'd minister that to people. I mean, whatever words need to be said, that you'd minister it in such a way that people could understand it tonight. And take it in and take it to heart. Take it into their deep places in their spirit. And let that truth, that simple truth, have its way. So take a moment to respond.
Mm. Like real love.
Mm-hmm.
Just teach me
how. Thanks,
God. God, I ask that you disassemble and demolish my strategies that I used to use.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
I pray you give me the courage to say no.
Thanks, Lord.
Clarity in your voice and simplicity to obey.
Thank you, Lord.
I love more and longer.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yeah, God, I just pray tonight that people know that we're people by how we love each other, by our love for one another. So, God, we love you. We love each other. We're going to do what you say. We give you thanks tonight. Pray that we keep it simple and we live the life you've given us to live. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let's greet by saying amen. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you again.
UCF of Syracuse is a relational gathering of diversity in action. Economics, education, employment, background, and culture span the spectrum as we gather for the purpose of life in Christ.
You know, me and Christ are homies.
That's good. He's really cool, you know.
We super close, yo.
Your homeboy?
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so musicians, writers, painters. You know, my cousin's a painter.
Yeah? What do you paint?
Houses.
Oh, man. My cousin, your cousin should hook up.
Yeah. So, yeah, painters and other artists express their work through the body of life of this faith community, like the comunidad.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
No.
Started in 1997.
That's a long time ago, yo.
That's back in the day.
That was before I had my eyebrows tattooed on there.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As an outgrowth of chaplaincy of Syracuse University, UCF continues to gather in the Westcott neighborhood of Syracuse.
Oh, me and my homegirls, we walk up and down there all the time.
I know, that's our hood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Syracuse, New York to share the love and hope of Christ.
Again, we homies.
You're home, yeah.